Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
All righty. You're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio. And this is a premiere broadcast with Airgun Angie. And I'm Frank on Target. Angie. Been quite a while since we talked to you. How are you? Yes.
I've been super busy, but it's good to be back.
Yeah. Here's a lady that loves her air guns. And how's this? She hunts for a living. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. If it ain't furry, it might be scaled, and if it ain't scaled, it might have tusks. And oh my god! So, what I really wanted to do was, I don't know. We were talking about something before we went on the air. What were we talking about?
Yeah, we don't even talk.
All right, that's okay. what I wanted to do is. Talk about a year in review, kind of, and man.
Yeah, it's 2025 already. Where did it
go? Yeah, where the hell did 24 go? We only started recording, I guess, halfway through the year. You've been coming down here halfway through the year. And what did you do in the first half of the year? You weren't slacking, were you?
No, not really. There was SHOT Show in Las Vegas. Squirrel Master Classic in February, and that's with Gammo, where they get, like, what are they called? I just have blank. Right. They get the personalities, the famous hunting personalities, okay. All together in one place, and we have a squirrel hunting competition, so
okay.
You can kill the most squirrels.
More squirrels.
Yeah, with air guns.
Can I send my cats over there? I got a group of cats in the yard.
To kill squirrels?
No. Don't shoot my cats. What do you call it? Squirrels, they are incredible hunters. Mm-hmm. We had a cat that had kittens, and I guess we weren't feeding her enough, or she wanted to get them off the tit, or whatever. She killed a squirrel and dragged it over there, fed it to the damn kittens.
She's teaching them.
And I'd love to watch. I mean, listen, if you love to hunt, you appreciate animals hunting, and man, I swear to God, I'd love to watch these cats hunt.
Yeah, I like to watch animals in general. I don't just like to.
Yeah. They're great to watch. You know, all through the season, I'm hunting every night, all through the deer season, and I pass up so many deer, and I just shoot enough for the freezer, but most of the enjoyment is watching the damn animals, throughout the year, and see what's going on, but
when you get to see them.
No, I see them pretty routinely.
That's kind of funny because I started out, we actually spoke about it on one of the shows last year, how we have people who hunt deer with dogs, and I'm one of them, but we hunt on a designated club.
Yeah.
And how is it okay to get frustrated with them? And I was kind of on both sides of the thing, and then this deer season has been the worst as far as still hunting.
Dog
hunters running their dogs around us. I have.
Have they? Did they run their dogs through your property?
Oh yeah, it was quite a bit. I actually caught somebody's dog in there and called the number and everything. So, I got to put off the frustration and realize this is life. This is hunting.
Yeah.
Especially where we are.
See, I don't hunt dogs, but I appreciate people hunting with dogs. I mean, you know, it's a cultural thing that people have been doing for 100 years or 200 years or 300 years, and maybe they've been doing them before that, but.
I do it too, and I enjoy it, but it's not very enjoyable when it's messing up.
You have to be careful the pieces, the plots of land that you hunt.
Yeah.
If I hear people working dogs and I'm still hunting, my ears go up. My ears go up because I know damn well if those dogs are close, that deer is going
to
pop out into the open.
Yeah, and you'll have pops to take out a running shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, that's why a lot of times if I'm just, tending a food plot or something like that, I carry a shotgun loaded up with 00.
Yep.
Because if I jump somebody, and it's somebody that I, you know, if I want to put that deer down, he's getting 3 inches of double O.
Yep.
You know, it might not go down the first shot, but there's four or five more behind it, so.
Well, my son, when he sits in my stand, that's what he brings. He brings a shotgun. He doesn't bring.
How far are you shooting?
50 yards.
Yeah. That's about the extreme distance that I like to shoot a shotgun. 30, 40. When I lived up north and I just used to, it was shotgun only. Now, I got to tell you, I've had some incredibly sophisticated rifled slug guns, and these things are 150, 175 yard guns, yeah. All right? But most times I'd hunt with a shotgun with double O, and I would take a big piece of cardboard, and you know where your game trails are and this and that, and I'd find the farthest game trail and pattern on that, so I know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am not big on chasing them down. I mean, I'll tell you, I think that I'm a damn good tracker, but I'd rather not.
I don't know. My son, he's a heck of a shot. He'll sit in a stand. You know, there's some people it seems like they're luckier than others. And I've had the discussion with myself and with the Lord. Is there such thing as luck? Because if there is, then mine's not that great. But my son, he'll go sit in a stand and he'll kill three deer in one sit.
Really?
Yes. And I was out of town a couple of years ago. He says, Mom, do you mind if I sit in your stand? I was like, that's fine. He calls me a little bit later. How many deer can I kill? What do you mean, how many deer can you kill? Well, I've killed three. I said, what? Yeah. So that was a cap for that deer. That's enough. Leap. Get out of my stand. All right.
That's, I mean, you know, listen. I have to shoot two for the freezer. Whether I shoot them in one day, whether I shoot them in 2 days. It's generally I shoot them over 2 days. And reason being, I don't feel like dragging two of them up onto the truck.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, when they're out there, they need to go down. Either that or they're going to run into somebody's car.
Well,
one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. The population of deer out here is... the hunting club that we hunt at, we run dogs at, they killed 112 deer this year. That's a lot of deer, and there's still plenty.
And they didn't put a dent in it.
Nope, nope.
My question is this. What the hell are they thinking? They put three buck tags and two doe tags for 2024? That's what you got, three buck tags and two doe tags.
Yeah, I always buy the extra ones, too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, does that, I would think, you know, take out one or two bucks and more does, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think the whole thing's backwards anyways, because they start hunting season in August, and the first month, bucks only. And then, but maybe they're thinking population control, I don't know. And then the last part, I mean, there's the rut, and then the does are pregnant. So now you're killing pregnant does rather than killing the does in the beginning and then leaving the pregnant does. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to
me. Yeah, well, they got a method. And apparently it's working because there's more deer than you could shake a stick at.
Yes.
I tell you, I had a buddy of mine when I was a kid in high school. And he went to Rutgers. Did I ever tell you the story? He went to Rutgers University, got a degree in agronomy. So what he did was he managed crops. That's what
I was
going
to say. I've never heard that word before, so I don't know.
Agronomy. So he managed crops. He moved to Florence right out of college, and he got a job up in Florence. And he stayed there 2 or 3 years, and... hey, when we lived up north, we were kids, we grew up in the city. You never moved more than three blocks from your house, you know? But anyway, I asked him how he liked it in South Carolina. And he said he loved it. He really loved it. He said it's not a big corn state, but he said, but, you know, it gives him a lot of opportunities. And just make sure that you got a fly swatter and a shotgun. And I said, fly swatter and a shotgun? He said, Yep. Shotgun for the damn mosquitoes and the fly swatter for the deer. So, yeah. But then he moved up to North Carolina, and man, I looked him up a couple of years ago, and he had passed away. He was it's the head of some... He was some kind of dean up in the University of North Carolina School of Agriculture. Okay, that's good.
That's cool.
Yeah, I bet you he had a good lot of good places to hunt. But, yeah. So you going to SHOT Show this year?
Nope, not this year.
Neither am I. I was going. I actually called my cousin and said, listen, I'm going to be out in Vegas, and gave him the dates. It was going to be a little tough because... my wife is going to the inauguration on the 20th of January. And SHOT Show starts before then. It starts like on the 18th and it goes to the 24th or something like that.
Yeah, it's usually the last part.
Anyway, I would have been home with the dogs and going to the airport, waving to her. She got off one plane and I got another one. But somebody got sick that I was supposed to meet out there. And they're pretty ill. So, I'm not going out. Maybe I'll save some money.
You probably will.
Go to Vegas.
Yeah.
But I got a wedding to go to in March that's going to cost me a fortune, so that's good.
Maybe you'd have saved some money, or maybe you'd have won some money. I know a guy
Well, last time I came home, last time I was at SHOT Show, I came home. I was hanging out with my godson. Kid's good. Kid's a pretty good gambler. I had some winnings, and I went and bought Kimber a ring. I brought her home a ring. So I can't expect that to happen again, but I'm not going out this year. You know, it's really been on a decline, I think, since before COVID.
Yeah, there's a cutback. Usually ATN brings me out there with them, but they called me this time and they said they're cutting back on their staff, their booth staff, and so I wasn't going to be one that was going with them. But it actually turned out to be for the good, because I've got to be in Oklahoma at the end of January.
Family stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yep,
good.
Yep. So it worked out. I don't see me being... 100% going to SHOT Show, and there's going to SHOT Show, a lot of people come away from there sick, and there's all kinds of people, crud, and
I'm gonna, and you know what, you know how they have like maybe four or five different venues, you know, they have a law enforcement venue, they have a beef jerky venue, I only go to one or two. Now
it's a lot. It's more than you can. I mean,
It's three days.
I'm usually there for the whole time, and I've never hit every booth, every place. There's like five floors and two, three different buildings, and it's huge.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's fun and it's good and everything, but there's a point where it's just not always profitable for everybody to go. I mean, this will be the first year I haven't gone in a while. So it's kind of odd, but I think it worked out for the best.
Yeah.
Probably, if they would have asked me to go, I would have went, but...
You would have spent a day or two and then bugged out?
I probably would have been there for the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, because they have me work in the booth, but I'm kind of glad they told me that. Not this year.
Good.
But I've got some other things that are going on.
So after SHOT Show last year, what were you off to then?
Squirrel Master Classic.
Oh, Squirrel Master Classic.
Yep. It's Gambo Daisy.
Where do they have it?
In Alabama. It's right outside of...
No, Gamo and Daisy and Benjamin, they're all one now, right?
Yep, Crossman. Yep. Yeah, I've actually signed a contract with Crossman and Benjamin, so I'm not going to be doing a lot of like videos and stuff, but I'm going to get some of their product and work a little bit with it. So.
All right, good.
Yeah.
What now? What's Benjamin doing? I mean, are they hunting guns, or are they?
Oh yeah, they've got something from small like BBs up to arrow guns and 45, 50 calibers.
It amazes me how one company is competing with themselves throughout the market. You know.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there's Benjamin, there's Crossman, there's Gamo. You know what I mean? They're all overlapping, aren't they?
Yeah, but I think they're all the same now. They're one company, so it's all going to benefit the same. I think it's actually a really good investment for a Gamo and Daisy to.
Well, Daisy, somebody else owned Daisy for a while. And they weren't making a go of it. Some big company was owned Daisy. And they weren't doing too well. But Daisy's a brand that everybody grew up with. I mean, if my folks who are long dead had Daisies when they were kids.
Yep.
You know, so
It's been around. The slogan, it all starts with a daisy.
Yeah. You're going to shoot your eye out.
Yep.
Going to shoot your eye out.
Actually, gave my grandsons a daisy for Christmas.
I gave away a BB gun that I got from my grandson. When my grandson used to come over, oh, man, this was crazy. You know, you always got to think a couple of steps ahead. My grandson was a little ADD. He gets distracted. Listen, even if it's a BB gun, I don't want him to turn around with a BB gun and clip me. You know, that's still uncomfortable. So I had a deck around the pool and it had columns in it. And I used to throw targets out there. And Caleb, you can lean between the slats in the rail. You know, you can lean on those. Also, couldn't turn around with the damn BB gun, you know, with the barrel between the slats. But, yeah, we used to have a good old time.
That's a good way to teach gun safety.
Oh, absolutely. Great way. Absolutely. You know, I mean, the nice thing is they're shooting something that's relatively, that's a real, you know, you're really launching a projectile. But if somebody screws up, you stand a second chance. You know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the big thing. So you did the Squirrel Classic.
Yep. And then I went to Oklahoma. I've got family out there. Yep. And we did some hog hunting out there.
How is it?
It's, my son does the dog and knife thing.
All right. Oh, really?
Yes. So it's a whole new adventure.
You know, I was talking about to Phil Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was talking to him about hog hunting on his place, but he leases his place out to dog and knife people.
Ah, yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's... Yeah, my son loves it. I did actually kill my first hog with a knife last year. That was later on last year, but it was... I didn't know if I could, but I did, and it was intense. If not, I'd rather shoot him. I would much rather just shoot him. I don't really want to get that close to him. So it was okay, but... Some people like it. I mean, I like it too, like the military. You have these different branches, and hunting's the same way. You have, it's all hunting, but there's different branches of it. And some people, like I would liken what my son does, dog and knife, to kind of infantry. They're footmen. They're on the ground. They're in there with their, fighting with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the snipers who kill things with rifles. So I that's what I liken it to. I don't knock anybody for their method of hunting.
No.
I mean, as long as you're not intentionally making the animal suffer.
Yeah. I told you this year I was thinking of shooting a handgun. I don't know. I mean, look.
To kill a deer?
Yeah.
I've heard of people doing it.
Well, it's... It's a chip shot.
Yeah. Well, the guy that hunts down from us, he actually tried it and missed.
I've hit one and it ran, but I was a kid. I was only maybe 22, 23, 357, went right through, had to track it down, pain in the neck.
Yeah.
You know, passed right through, bullet didn't open up. It wasn't really a decent shot. It was, you know, a piece of the lung. You know, but anyway, knowing what I know today, handgun is a chip shot, man. You catch them. First of all, my max shot is 40, 50 yards max.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I was practicing yesterday. You know, son of a gun. I have a severe character flaw, and I need to be competitive all the time. I haven't.
It's a natural thing.
Because I've been busy with my wife doing stuff, I haven't been shooting distance, you know, because over at Palmetto we shoot 800 yards, 600 yards. And I was competitive. I was in the top five. You know, I never won nothing, but I've won matches. I've won Carlos Hathcock matches and stuff like that. And I love it. I love it. Anyway, I went over to the range with my daughter. And my daughter is, we used to compete with handguns shooting USPSA. So she was down for a couple of days, and we had an afternoon to kill. So we went over to Palmetto and watched a steel challenge. Well, we used to shoot a steel challenge in Pennsylvania every year when I lived up there. And oh my God, they run a steel challenge up there. It's 3 days long. Mm. They have maybe 100 shooters a day,
wow.
And they got 4 or 5 different stages, and You drag a cart around with all your gear from stage to stage, and I'm going to tell you something. When you're done, you're tired. Yeah. All right. Now that's reactive steel, where your targets move down, have to fall down. But up here in Palmetto, they shoot static, so you're just listening for the ding. So it doesn't matter what you shoot. They have classes that they just shoot 22 long rifle. That's great. It's cheap. It's dirty. It's easy to... So anyway, I go over there with my daughter, and I know the range director, the match director, and he's a nice guy, and blah, 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 and he's breaking my chops. Here, you got to shoot. No, I don't want to shoot. Here, you got to shoot. I don't want to shoot. Here, you got to shoot. He sticks the damn pistol in my hand. So... It's a red dot. I never shot a red dot.
What'd you think?
Bing, bing, bing. Piece of cake. All right. The thing about the red dot is my presentation isn't good, so I have to look for the dot. As my presentation of the pistol improves, I'll see the dot right off the bat. It's a piece of cake. So anyway, it's not like I don't have a pistol. I got a 22 target pistol, and I went and ordered a Picatinny rail for it. I had a red dot that I bought on sale. You know, when they're on sale, you buy two. So I had an extra red dot, right? So I put that on, and it's only one MOA, and it's what do you call it? It's not really good for what I'm doing. So I bought another one this morning. That's
just one.
One, because I wasn't sure what I bought. I wanted to make sure I bought something that was decent. It was made out of chinesium. Anyway, it has a red dot that's one MOA, and then it has a circle around it that's like 10 MOA, and you really want a minimum of 10 MOA to shoot this, because as you're swinging through a number of targets, as you know, we have reaction times. So as you're swinging through, as the outside edge of the 10 MOA ring touches the target, you can squeeze.
Right.
Well, I also have to do the trigger on this damn pistol, because I was just shooting static targets, and when is this thing going to go off? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm used to stuff like, believe it or not, I hunted with a little single shot Thompson Center 243 this year. You saw it. It's a beautiful gun. It shoots real well. I did the trigger. Put a spring kit in. It's nothing too sophisticated, blah, blah, blah. Damn thing drops at about 2 pounds. Now, people say, 2 pounds, that's too light for hunting, and they'll jump up and down.
No,
I disagree. Well, I'm glad. So it means, since you disagree, you do agree.
yeah, I disagree with them and agree with you.
Because... I mean, it's a hammer gun. I don't cock a hammer until I got a sight picture, mm-hmm. right? And that for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, there's the safety aspect that you want to make sure that you have a sight picture before you cock the hammer on a 2 pound trigger. But the other thing is, too, I want a sight picture because that son of a bitch, that furry guy out there, sometimes they hear the hammer cock.
Yep.
And if they hear the hammer cock, that's the last thing he's going to hear.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, 2-pound trigger is nice. But this, oh, this pistol, man, this thing had to be about 6 pounds. And I'm holding it. And, you know, I don't know. When I'm shooting freehand, if I'm shooting off a rest, you know, I hold the sight picture and it's dead nuts. And when it's dead nuts, I just breathe and it goes. With the offhand stuff, everybody shakes. What I do is I shake, control my shake in a figure eight. All right. Control the shake in a figure eight. The majority of the time you're over the target. All right. So I just, what do you call it? I figure eight and then just let off on the trigger. Well, with this 6-pound trigger, when is this thing going to happen? You know,
yeah.
Is it going to happen yesterday? You like a light trigger though?
I do. I think that, there's a lot of air guns that have heavy triggers and some of them aren't adjustable. And honestly, I wouldn't buy them. I would just because the trigger, I would not. I would buy something else that had a better trigger. Because it your accuracy counts on a good trigger. People might say it doesn't matter, but I just recently had an air gun. I did a review on it. The trigger was horrible. It was between 5 and 6 pounds. And by the time I got finished shooting that gun for the review, my finger hurt. I was tired. My finger was tired from pulling the trigger. I don't want to shoot a gun like that. That's no fun. And it took me several shots before the review to actually get used to the trigger to be able to be accurate with the thing. And I believe with a better trigger, I would have gotten better results with it. So trigger to me is crucial. I like a light trigger. I like one between 1 and 2 pounds.
Yeah.
That's my kind of trigger, between 1 and 2 pounds.
Now, here's the next question. Single stage or two stage?
Neither one really make a difference to me. I mean, I like a two stage. I like having that little here we go kind of session. Like, okay, you're about to. But, I mean.
See, I've been, what do you call it? I've been shooting, I competed with ARs a lot. And standard ARs are single stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I like, and a lot of competitors, I would say a majority of, and listen, everything has trends. You know, what was popular 6 months ago won't be popular 2 years from now. You
but
know?
I think so, it depends on what you're using it for. Competing.
Yeah, but it's no, I understand that, but I think things fall in and out of favor. And right now, mm-hmm. everybody likes two stage triggers.
Yeah.
Two stage triggers are pretty, and listen, I love them. I mean, just think of all the stuff that's out there that's two-stage. Any of these striker-fired handguns are essentially two-stage triggers because there's a lot of take-up before you hit the wall and it breaks. All right? So is that why people like two-stage triggers? I don't know. With the single-stage trigger, I like light single-stage triggers. And you just have to remember with the single-stage trigger, you put your finger in the trigger guard, it's lights out.
Yeah. That maybe for a competition, single stage would be better, but for hunting, I think two stages, because you get that, I mean, you want to make sure you're going to make a good shot.
So, yeah, listen, it's, again, you know what? You better be able to shoot with either one.
Yep. Which, I mean, I test so many different guns that I have a lot of practice with both.
Right.
So it's,
well, you know, I could tell you from a survivalist standpoint. And listen, you're good, and you know firearms, and I think I'm accurate in assessing. You could probably pick anything up and use it.
Probably not anything.
What?
Probably not anything.
Well, I think that
there's a lot I don't know.
If you look at something, you can make it work. That's why, God's honest truth, I don't like the AK platform. I don't. All right, it's a psychological thing. I was raised and trained that silhouette is, you know, that silhouette is goes, you know, it's an enemy, goes down. Mm-hmm. All right, but I did take an SKS in the woods, which an SKS is doesn't have a magazine, or it has a blind magazine. And I do own an AK, one, and it's a training aid. It's a training aid. And the reason it's a training aid is because it's one of the most prolific firearms in the world, and God forbid you got to pick one up and use one, you got to know what it, you got to know how to use it.
Right.
You know? And I got that confidence that you listen, you know what? You look at it, you know you got to have a round in the chamber, you know it's got to have a safety. You might not be, might take you a second or two to rock a magazine into an AK because, you know, I mean, we shoot ARs and you just slap the magazines in, the AKs, you got to rock them in. You got to know. And the same thing with the triggers, you know, I mean, someday you're going to go and you're going to say, I used to go hunting with two rifles in case one broke.
Yeah.
You're going out of state. You got to, you know.
Have a backup.
And ammunition. Ammunition over here, ammunition over there, because you don't want to forget your ammunition, you know. But in a jam, you got to be able to use this crap. I mean, just that could be like handguns too, you know, striker-fired pistols. Hand somebody that shoots a striker-fired pistol in 1911, and you leave the safety on, and they're like, duh, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's about it. So, you went to Oklahoma, and you stabbed some pigs.
Yeah, just one.
Just one?
Yep.
Just one?
You just
wanted to prove you could do it.
I wanted to see what it was about, and my son had been trying to get me on one for a couple of years. He told me I was bad luck, because he'd go out with his buddies, and they'd get pigs left and right all the time. Every time I went out with them, nothing. We trekked around. He's got the GPS collars on his dogs, and they'd go out 400 or 500 yards, and they'd start opening a little bit, and then we'd get up to them, and I guess the pig got away. And this last time when I actually did get my pig, he had another guy with him hunting who had different kinds of dogs. There's bay dogs, and there's catch dogs, there's run and catch dogs, there's all kinds of different dogs. And so my son runs run and catch dogs. They'll catch the pig. The bay dogs just bark at him and try to keep it in the same mm-hmm. area until the catch dog comes in. So when you have the different types of dogs hunting together, it throws things off. They get confused. Nobody's able to catch a pig. Well, that's what happened for the first probably 4 times I went with him this last time. And the same thing happened previously.
Now, how many dogs does he run at one time? If he's by himself, now he has run and catch dogs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how many dogs does he run when he's by himself?
He likes 2, but sometimes he'll run 3. But he likes to take 2. Yeah. But the last time,
guys are working, huh?
Yes. The last time I went out there in the summertime, the same thing happened. I went several nights, nothing. And then I decided, I'm done. I'm not going now. I'm going to stay home tonight. You guys go ahead. And they got a big, huge boar hog that night. And I was like, well, it must be me. I must have bad luck. This time we did it again. I went out with them about 4 nights in a row, nothing. And the next night, they were like, well, do you want to go? And I said, yes, because if I stay home, I know you guys are going to get something. So I went and finally got, it was a small one. It wasn't a very big pig, but I'm kind of glad because...
Now, what kind of pigs do they have out there? I mean, they like the pigs that we have here?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because the pigs that we have here are pretty much... Then, over the years, over the 100 years and stuff like that, they're a mix with... There's a lot of domestic in them.
Right. Well, I don't know about... There's razorbacks.
Well, do we have razorbacks here?
I think so. We've killed some of that mohawk looking thing, which
right,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. But they have a lot of them out there. I think there's a lot more pigs out in Oklahoma than there are here.
What, razorbacks?
Just pigs in general.
Just pigs in general.
Wild hogs, yeah. There's a lot. I mean, you see sign everywhere. But my son, when I got mine, I'm glad it was a small one because he pretty much makes you do everything. He's all right, grab it by the back legs. I had to flip it over and get on top of it, put my knee in its side, and then stab it. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad that wasn't a big one because I don't know if I could handle that.
All right. Let's get down to the what's important stuff now.
feeling unimportant now.
How big are the blades?
And
how sharp are the blades? And where are you putting the blades?
6 to 8 inches. They have to be sharp. and right basically under the armpit.
All right, so you're taking hard shots.
Yes, under the armpit, and he said I was a little excessive. I wanted to make sure the thing was dead and dead fast. I was like putting it in, twisting it all over. He's like, Mom, that's enough.
8 inches, that's enough. 6 or 8 inches, huh?
Yeah.
And for some reason, that doesn't say, 6 inches doesn't seem long enough.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Hmm. I mean, there's bigger ones, but I think that with the bigger knives, there's probably less control, and 6 or 8 inches is just enough to be able to control it well and do what you got to do. So.
We'll be right back with more from Frank on Target after these messages.